Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, March 6, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
TGIF, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you, I bet the markets are real happy that it's TGIF, that's for sure. And just another wild day in the markets. So we saw a little bit even in the gold pricing, a lot of volatility there. But we're still holding gold at $1,673, up about a buck. For the day, we had a high of 1692 and a low of 1642. So big swing there, 50 bucks. Silver was down 11 at 1740. Platinum was up 38 bucks at 908. Palladium continues to roar, up 11 at 2604. You have the USDX today was weaker. It did dip into below the 96 level. We're just hovering at that now. 96.03 on the USDX, down 0.57. Crude oil was down. Is that a 4.61? Was it down 4? At 41.29, it had to have been? Holy smokes.
It sure was.
Wow. I just... Coming into the program, I was just reading some headlines, and I saw one where Russia rejects that proposed steps, the steep production cuts that would stabilize the prices. And so oil suffered, Brent oil suffered its biggest one-day loss in more than 11 years. So Russia's not going along with OPEC. Well, they balked. I don't know if they, you know, how long they'll continue to reject it. And therefore, you have a three-year pact between OPEC and Russia. So it kind of ended in acrimony today after that. And they refused to support deeper oil cuts to cope with the outbreak of the virus. And OPEC responded by removing all limits on its own production. I'm not quite sure why they would respond that way, but this triggered a rout with more than 1 million U.S. crude contract shares trading hands on Friday. U.S. crude futures settled down more than 10%, the largest one-day percentage loss since 2014. More than 4.58 million U.S. front-month crude contracts changed hands this week. This is the busiest week ever for that contract. We saw Brent futures fall 4.72 or 9.4%, the biggest fall since. Let Dave guess what year. Guess what year? December 2008. What we report on is the West Texas Intermediate crude dropped 4.62 or 10%. It's lowest close since August 2016. This was the biggest daily percentage drop for WTI since November 2014, putting both contracts down over 30%. So, folks, if you don't think there's money being lost out there, and I saw one number out there that said, oh, GDP for the world is going to contract by $2.4 trillion, and I'm thinking, who's writing this article? Anyway, so interesting in the oil. I hadn't caught on that story until right before the program. And, Dave, I don't know if you had that in our paper to talk about today.
Yep, it was there.
Okay. And I don't know if you have any more on there, but I was a little, surprised at that number. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know where that's going to stop. And remember, the last time we had oil trading around 40 and 30, remember all that debt that these oil companies have that puts them out of business? And so another area of the market gets hit. And I'm surprised why Russia wouldn't go along with OPEC. Was there any idea why that was, why they rejected?
Nope.
The Dow was down 256 points at 25,865. You have the NASDAQ down 162 at 85.75, and all of these were down, I think, early morning trade. They were down 600, 700, 800 points. So they were able to bring them back somewhat. The S&P was down 51 points at 2,972. So they did control the damage in the paper markets today. And I think the story of the year is the 10-year. The 10-year yield, 0.71%, down 0.22. I mean, with that all right, and we did, we did see the markets down, you know, 600, 700, 800 points in early morning trade. They should have stayed there. And I can't even imagine what's going to happen on Monday. Japan, Hong Kong, London, Germany, they were all down. Japan and Hong Kong, they were down, you know, average 2.5%, with London and Germany. London was down 3.62%. Germany was down 3.37%. So they all got hit really hard. And so, interesting day in the markets, but you know, when you read the headlines, Dave, I mean, they're already trying to come up with tax cuts to ease the pain. There should be liquidity concerns. We've been talking about negative rates for how long? This is a little surprise of how I thought they'd get there, but they're going there regardless of how they get there or the reason that they're using for them to get there. And I don't mean to be, you know, all over the page, but I just can't. And Kudlow, Larry Kudlow out there is telling people to stay at work. Are you kidding me?
Kudlow has become a big joke.
He always was.
I was wanting to throw darts at the TV this morning with each new statement he made. How dare him be a representative, a senior representative of our government,
of our financial? You know, so I mean, it's just like, you know. Anyway, but they're coming out to try to calm the markets after they took this so lightheartedly. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I can argue both points. You know, there's no reason to panic over the virus as yet, but you don't be stupid about it either. You know, you take caution, you remain alert, you be aware. But I think they tried to take a casual stance on this virus, and it didn't work. And now all of a sudden they're coming out and saying everything has been contained. We don't know that yet. So I mean, I even heard, Dave, that they were talking about making companies pay for people to take sick. I mean, if they took off work to be sick, government has asked businesses to pay, even though sick pay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't go along with that. You just can't tell companies what to do. But I don't know. It's getting out of control. And I think come Monday, I wouldn't want to be in these markets. So anyway, that's just me. But there was good news today, Dave. Government jobs report. They said that 273,000 jobs were added in February. Of course, they grew more than expected. Companies continue to hire. This was the report from the Labor Department. 273,000 jobs, new jobs. Unemployment rate fell 3.5%. I mean, and this is good news if it was true. Part of it is true. And that's what they do. They take a little bit of the truth and meld it with untruths, and they come up with a number. But a more accurate measure of joblessness that counts those not looking for work and holding part-time jobs for economic reasons actually edged higher to 7%. So again, you know, it's 100,000 more than what economists had expected. And so that was good news. And I don't know if that was enough to bring the market back or not. There was other revisions, not quite the same as Moody's, not Moody's, but ADP from earlier in the week. But there were gains spread across a multitude of sectors. And you want to tell us which sectors did the best?
Well, it looks like healthcare and social assistance led the way in job creation last month with 57,000 new positions. Food services and drinking places both added 53,000. I find the term drinking places interesting. That's actually the first time I remember seeing that. I don't know if that's a replacement for the term bars. Or if it's a more encompassing term. But in any event, that grew. Government employment grew by 45,000. Construction added 42, probably thanks to the lower mortgage rates. Professional and tech services contributed 32, and even finance rose by 26. So in the survey of households, employment rose overall by 126,000. While the unemployed ranks decreased by 105,000, according to the government. Now, the February job number took on particular importance as worries have intensified over the economic impact of the coronavirus. Though this is an important thing to remember. The February report covered the time frame before most of the worries over the disease's more recent spread have intensified. So, translation, next month's jobs report will probably be a lot more meaningful. Now, most of the indicators thus far have shown little damage to the jobs market. That's surprising, but jobless claims remain well within their recent trend, coming in at 216,000 in the latest reading. Challenger Gray and Christmas, that job placement firm that's often quoted in articles related to this monthly report, also said that planned layoffs actually fell 16% from January. So Lizanne Saunders, who's a chief investment strategist at Charles Schwab, said, "Now more than ever, we need to focus on labor market data. Why? Because the consumer has kind of kept things afloat." And she went on to warn that if we start to handle things the way they're handled in Italy and South Korea, and I think she missed Iran especially, closing schools and having mandated cancellations of travel and sporting events, I think there's no way we don't see it in the labor market and in consumer confidence and spending. So we'll see. Maybe the moral of this report, Melody, is enjoy some good news while you can get it.
Well, the way I with that with those comments, it's kind of like, these people with higher educations. I mean, I guess you can kind of figure that out. There's already reports about schools most likely will be closing. It's just the reports are already out there in specific areas where most likely they'll see them close
Well, with two confirmed cases in Pennsylvania where I live, there's a county, one, two, three counties away that have just closed all schools.
They did.
Bucks County schools. Yep. So they're not taking any chances. We'll see if that trend continues. And in terms of containment, as you alluded to a few minutes ago, this thing isn't contained by any stretch, Mr. Kudlow. We're seeing new cases every day. There are at least four more states that reported confirmed cases in the U.S. today. Words matter, and so do facts. So get accurate, Mr. Kudlow.
Well, Dave, just this morning I was looking at the map to see where the cases were reported, and Pennsylvania wasn't on there. I know Maryland, Governor Hogan has made the state a state of emergency on this, and all those reported cases were up there in Baltimore, and I'm assuming they'll stay there. So, I don't know. And what's interesting about this, they says none of the kids have basically fallen ill.
Yeah, a lot of these are the
Ages under
ACLs.
10 have been fairly protected. It just hits old people, useless eaters. What a coincidence. But you know, people who are ill, people who have you know, issues, and those are the ones that seem to be hitting, you know, whether you're on a cruise ship, whether you're in a nursing home or wherever you might be. But it seems that it's the elderly that are getting the brunt of the deaths. But a lot has not been released from other countries, though, either. I don't think, Dave, you know, exactly the age and so forth from the other countries like, you know, China and so forth. I don't know. I haven't followed it that closely. But, you know, it's, and again, there's no need to panic if you're healthy. But most of us have elderly family members. I know, like I said yesterday, I'm 39, so I don't have to really worry about it that much. But I know you're older, Dave. But to me, the story of all of this is the 10-year treasury, how the yield is dropping to these new record lows. And, of course, we've seen pressure put on that, on the U.S. dollar. It has sent gold to its biggest weekly gain since 2011. And the yield in the benchmark 10-year treasury note sank to 0.695 around 4:45 a.m. Eastern time today, and breaking below the 0.7% for the first time ever. This is not normal, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't just the coronavirus that's at work here. As I reported in the market report, however, the 10-year yield has moved off those lows. You had the 30-year Treasury bond also hit some fresh record lows today, 1.279%. The 5-year yield fell 0.537. That was the lowest level since July of 2012. And the 2-year yield dropped to 0.451%, its lowest since January of 2016. And to me, this all, you know, those are wide ranges. It just wasn't back in, you know, 2008, 9, and 10. But I think these were all little signs that showed what was happening. And we've been talking about the bond market falling apart, the bubble that the bond market has been in. And I think all these little periods, 2012, 2016, 2011, I think those were all little indicators that we tried to tell you about. Yesterday's surge in gold, it was up over 35. The plunge in yields came amid a further exodus from stocks. And we'll continue with this information when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. We will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please give us a call and check out the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs live at the website, on the radio page, at the top of the page, every day, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And that is Monday through Friday. That's every day, Monday through Friday. And we'd love to have you join us. And if you have any questions that you ever want to send us, you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And the A-N-D, that is spelled out, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And I get lots of emails. Lots of emails go into spam. So if for some reason you don't get a response, please resend them or call. And then I can look it up. And I know sometimes people will send me something to look at their portfolios. And I try to go through all my emails at the end of the day to make sure that I didn't overlook anyone. And sometimes I still do. Or sometimes I just don't get to them and it's late at night. And I, you know, been here for 12 hours. It's time to leave. And I don't get to them. So don't think that I'm ignoring you or we're that type of a company, because we're not. We want to get to everybody, but, you know, stuff happens. So, Dave, did you want to finish up the about the 10-year yield before we move on to Mr. Pompeo?
Well, you know, actually, I think all that needs to be said about that, you said right before the break, the rest of this article is sort of superfluous and not necessarily right on point on that. So we just know that, again, it's not contained. San Francisco, for example, announced the first two cases there, raising concerns that it was spreading in that community. They're expecting that cruise ship with 3,500 people aboard to dock at any time. Number of, I forget how many dozen of cruise liners or whatever. What do you call people who are on cruisers?
Cruisers, I guess.
Cruisers are infected, but the rest of them will be walking throughout the community as early as this evening. Facebook has told its employees in the Bay Area to stay home, cancel any trips. Gap shut down its New York City headquarters after one of its employees tested positive. Well, here's the good news, I guess. There are no treasury auctions scheduled today, so everything that's happening is in the secondary market. We'll be talking a little bit more about the emerging coronavirus economy in just a few minutes.
Well, you know, Pompeo, you know, he blames, and he was doing all the news programs this morning. Didn't matter where you turn, it was Mike Pompeo was the man to be interviewed. And he blames China for putting the U.S. behind the curve on this virus outbreak. Pompeo said it has proven incredibly frustrating to work with the Chinese government to obtain data, which will ultimately be the solution to both getting the vaccine and attacking the risk. Remember, this is Wuhan's coronavirus that caused this, and the information that we got at the front, that's what he says. We got at the front end of this thing wasn't perfect. It has led us now to a place where much of the challenge we face today has put us behind the curve. I don't think anybody, I know our listeners and myself, particularly if it was something from China, like you're going to wait and see what data comes from China before you do anything? Are you serious? Or any country for that matter? Wouldn't you automatically start doing the things necessary to protect this country immediately without waiting for the data to come from a communist nation? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it was a surprise. So, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, he says, remember, this is the Wuhan virus that caused this. That's not the way infectious disease doctors tell me it should work. It's not the way America works with transparency and openness and sharing. Oh, like our government works with transparency and openness. Okay. But anybody who wants to believe that, they can. And the sharing of information that needs to take place. And again, did anybody really think that a communist nation with a billion plus people would change and openly share information? Good grief. So he was all on the air trying to push back any of the suggestions that the global outbreak, and that's what they're in damage control area, panic control area, Dave. I think this is what they're doing the circuit to place blame somewhere else. It's an election year. Don't forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Trying to place blame someplace else so when if it hits the fan, you know, they won't have to take response. They won't have to take the responsibility. They won't have to be accountable. And they can say it's somebody else's fault, not ours.
Yes, the Secretary of State said he believes in the U.S. government's ability to appropriately respond to the coronavirus. Quote, I'm confident we can handle it here. I'm confident that we'll handle it better than any nation in the world. We shall see, ladies and gentlemen, as we've now exceeded the 100,000 mark. Worldwide, in the U.S., over 225 cases, and now for two figures, 14 or 15 deaths as of 4 p.m. Eastern Time, vast majority of them in the state of Washington and California. So this will remain top of the news, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. Melody.
All right. We talk about the economy during this time, and I believe you wrote about that, Dave, about the economy during the emerging coronavirus and how it affects.
Indeed. Our latest blog, which is out as we speak, is about the emerging coronavirus economy. And in that respect, what a difference a month or two can make. In a matter of mere weeks, we've gone from expecting the coronavirus to have a negligible effect on the U.S. economy to warning that the on-again, off-again recession may be back on, and sooner and deeper than we may think or certainly want. The spread of the COVID-19 cases around the world and how fast they're being diagnosed has really set the table for the outbreak to have a much larger and costlier impact and over a longer period of time. The virus is threatening to unravel consumer-oriented businesses across the country, like restaurants, bars, or drinking places, as they call it, tourism and travel. I mean, those types of enterprises in the U.S. anyway have been holding up an otherwise volatile economy as business investment here has turned negative and the manufacturing sector has fallen in to recession. Business investment, which declined through the last quarters of 2019, could be further hit Constant Hunter, who's the chief economist at the accounting consultancy firm KPMG, warns if the virus spreads within the U.S. in any meaningful way, that's going to have a negative impact, adding that's a factor that could lead to negative GDP in the first and possibly the second quarter. And of course, we define recession by nature as essentially negative growth in any two or more consecutive quarters. Melody.
Well, you know, you write, and again, we were heading into a recession. The coronavirus was just there to get the ball rolling and
a
everybody
flock
talking
of swans.
About, yes. We just don't have you're right. We've got a flock, baby.
Pick and choose.
But Europe and Japan are particularly at risk, as both have only, 1% growth over the past year. You know, and everybody was talking about them heading to a recession for I don't know how many years, and are more susceptible to falling into recession than other parts of the world. Janet Yellen, remember her, everyone? She was the former Fed chair, said it is just conceivable that it could throw the United States into a recession. It's conceivable, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine. Just imagine that. Ladies and gentlemen.
They cracked me up.
Just last month, a lot of economists thought the coronavirus would cause a decrease of only 0.1% reduction in U.S. growth this year. But rosy projections have been in short supply over the past week or so, as the Dow has more than one experienced among its largest single-day point drops in history. The S&P 500 has fallen by 10% in just 6 trading sessions. And that's its fastest correction in history from a record high. And as this week comes to another turbulent close, Goldman Sachs is warning that the firm now expects U.S. companies to generate no earnings growth in 2020. Now, I'm sure that's in the aggregate. And that a more severe pandemic could lead to a U.S. recession. Boy, again, words matter, and they choose them wisely. No one wants to be out on a limb saying, in this case, what I think is almost the obvious, that it will lead to a U.S. recession. Bank of America Securities has also cut its 2020 global growth forecast and is now expecting the lowest reading since 2009. And Credit Suisse Bank has lowered its projection to 2.2%, and that's below the 2.5% growth rate the IMF has set as a threshold for global recession. Nearly half of U.S. companies in China expect revenue to decrease this year if business can't return to normal there by the end of April. And 20% said their 2020 revenues from China would decline more than 50% if the epidemic continues through the end of August of this year.
And the one thing that we have to remember, you quoted all the big banks too big to fail and so forth, they're sugarcoating everything because they don't want you to move. They don't want anybody to pull their money out of the banks. They're trying to prevent a bank run. They don't want people to be scared, you know, so they're sugarcoating everything. So when these numbers are read and their projections are given, just thinking that's probably their best case scenario. That's not what's going to happen. So if they see these reductions and they're talking about it, I mean, heck, 2008, Dow was trading at 6,000 and there was still people out there claiming there was no subprime loan mortgage problem. Larry Kudlow was one of them. Maybe it didn't go that on that long, but it was pretty close. So, you know, they're going to sugarcoat it all the way down to the bottom. Because they don't want you to do anything. They just want you to be, they're the experts. They know more than you do. And you need to do what they tell you to do.
Oh, what was his name? The musician, Perrin. Do, 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 do. Do you know where I'm going?
Do, 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 do. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. Be happy.
Be happy. And now you have the U.S. companies that makes products geared towards staying at home, peanut butter, exercise bikes, telecom. And there's going to be somebody out there that are just going to, you know, promote their products and the unexpected beneficiaries of this economy, Dave. So, I mean, there always is a rosy place somewhere.
Yeah. And this, in most respects, is a common sense observation that we're seeing here in this specific area that you just mentioned. I mean, but it does look like investors have begun placing bets on what consumers will need as the fast spreading virus does get worse here. Although the virus sell-offs in equities over the past 2 weeks have left few companies unscathed, there are a few, and it's literally a few, whose stock prices moves up or down stand out.
Yes, they do. Only, what, 7 public U.S. companies in the S&P 500 gained value last week?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, Clorox, the disinfectant manufacturer. And ladies and gentlemen, no, gargling Clorox is not a way to prevent being infected. You're going to hurt yourself. Gilead Sciences and Regeneron, they're both working on coronavirus treatments. Other gainers are pharma companies like, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Moderna, whose vaccine is in the midst of an early clinical trial. And specialty tech companies like Zoom, Teladoc, and Dropbox that help connect people. Peloton, too, home exercise bikes. They're helping people to avoid going to heavily populated gyms. Previously saw its shares spike, too. But if you ever take a look at Peloton, which I did this afternoon, they're not a cheap investment.
No, they're very expensive.
They're very cool looking, but boy, you're going to go deep into your pocketbook to have one in your family room. On the other side of the coin, there are travel companies. They've been severely bruised. Major cruise lines, big airlines, the hotel chains, American Airlines, for example, which flies a lot of Pacific routes, has lost 25% of its value over just 4 trading days last week.
Hey, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. A lot of folks were taking advantage of the prices today. We did have a little bit of a pullback early in morning trade, then they went up, then they came back, they settled, and so gold has been all over the page, just like everything else has been. And sure, you could find the little roses and in these types of markets, but how lucky do you feel? One thing I know with gold, I don't have to be lucky because it is the rose.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be, you know, and because when you have paper, when one falls, they all fall. Just like your mining shares. When you own mining shares, you don't own gold. You own the corporation. You don't own any gold at all. You own the CEO. Corporation, a piece of paper. And just because gold might be going up doesn't mean that that's going up. It has the volatility. So if you have mining shares, just make sure that you have the same amount in physical gold. That's how you protect yourself. It's just common sense on how to protect your money. And we've been, you know, we've been strapped so much with inflation. Your dollar doesn't buy you anything. Everybody's out there trying to find the biggest gain possible. They search for the biggest yields. They search for the biggest the biggest return that they can find. And every time you search for that, your risk increases. And so it doesn't change. It's all the same. It's always been the same, Dave, hasn't it? The returns are the same. Same risk, same returns. You're in the wrong spot. You're going to get hurt. So just protect it. You can always go back in. Nobody tells you that. You can pull it out.
It's one of the beauties of this precious metal, ladies and gentlemen. Reliability. You Absolutely. Can count on gold.
Absolutely. It'll never go to zero. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, well, we were just finishing up your blog. And again, you can go to our website, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up. And again, we talk about storage, you know, about, not storage, but, preparing. So just be careful. Things are going. It's hard to find Purell. It's hard to find sanitizers. It's hard to find a lot of stuff like that. Just be safe out there. I mean, we kind of talked about, you know, how Bank of America is looking out at recession signs. And again, they're just going to sugarcoat everything because, you know, and that's my whole point. If they come out and tell us that we're heading into a recession and this is the negative things that are going to happen and so forth, where do you think we really are headed? You know, so I think what's important, and I don't know how it'll be yet, Dave, but about the Tokyo Summer Olympics.
This is a fascinating story. I mean, every 4 years, Summer Olympics, and 2 years later, and every 4 years, the winter. People all over the world look forward to it. And this year, boy, is Tokyo, Japan looking forward to it. And they're not only are they not minor infrastructure investments anymore, they're major investments in both infrastructure and security, protect the couple thousand of athletes that come from all around the world in all types of countries, and also the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of attendees to all the various events. But already the coronavirus is upending some of the preparations, not just in Tokyo, but in some parts of the world, including Tokyo in this case. They're having a difficult time starting or concluding some of the Olympic trial events, you know, the qualify athletes to participate in the Olympics. A little concern about the timing there as it goes on. But one thing is for sure right now, the International Olympic Committee is steadfast in its belief that the coronavirus will not affect the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympics. The head of the IOC, I forget his first name, his last name is Bach, just held a conference call with local organizers. I think the IOC's in somewhere in Switzerland. Asked how he could be so confident that the July 24th to August 9th Olympics will go ahead as scheduled, Bach told reporters, because we talked to the experts. He added, we're a sports That's organization funny. And we follow the advice of the World Health Organization. And that's another UN agency that happens to be based in Geneva, not too far from where the IOC is. Now, federal authorities in the IOC, the home country of Switzerland, which shares a border with Italy, have banned public gatherings of 1,000 people or more until mid-March to help contain the virus from spreading.
Well, you know, I mean, they don't know until we get there as far as, I mean, I don't know what their deadline is in order to do, but yeah, you're right, billions and billions of dollars flood into these areas, into these countries, into these cities, you know, for these Olympics. I mean, these are big, big deals. Governments spend billions of dollars to build new, you know, arenas and everything else. But you know what? There was a, I'm not sure where this is coming from. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good, reputable place. It's called The Week. But, and that's what you have to be careful too, ladies and gentlemen. When you're reading these articles, look to see where it's coming from. Try to confirm it with another agency or something like that, because you know there's going to be a lot of just a lot of things that we're not sure what's true or not, you know. And personally, I do believe there was probably a cover up to some degree in Beijing. China whistleblowers say virus recovery is fake. It's all fake. We don't even have our U.S. customs are still not screening passengers. First colleges close classrooms. I don't know which colleges these are. See if I can bring it up. I don't know if you've heard of any of the colleges. Vanderbilt. A student had tested positive for the virus.
Yeah, they're going 100% online for the rest of the semester, a few of them have announced. I think the one I read, I can't remember the name, so I won't speculate, was in California.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to see that happen. You're going to see chaos at hospitals, possible. You know, so it's, and I don't get this, you have the Fed quarantining. Let me see where this article is coming from, Dave.
Oh, dollars. Dollar bills.
The New York Post. From physical dollars from China.
Oh, wow.
From travelers returning home from China. So it's those guys. And yeah, they're not doing it, you know, just those
in
that are coming back.
Wow, talk about laundering money, Melody.
Yes, they will have to. And so, but I don't understand, if they're doing that, why wouldn't they tie up the customs area a little bit more? Why wouldn't, you know? So it kind of seems like some of the things that we're doing is half right, and then other things are being ignored. So the one that I also found interesting, Dave, is the Vatican reports the first case And, you know, and I think it, this is just my conspiracy theory. But supposedly Pope Francis tested negative for the virus. He was pretty sick, and then you had the first case of it in the Vatican. I don't know. But can
down
you imagine?
With the cold.
Can you imagine what would have happened if they had, if he did have that? What would happen?
Yeah.
I mean, and to some degree, Dave, I don't know. What do you, what information don't you release in order to prevent panic?
Well, you just have to be extremely careful with not as much what information you release, but how, what you say about it. And here again, words matter. I believe in trying to reassure a public, which obviously the number one thing virtually every person in the world is concerned about is their own health. And boy, things could get really crazy, you know, if there'd be a panic, because I think it would manifest itself in a number of ways, and not many of them are positive.
You know, and I think panic happens when information is withheld. That's when panic really happens.
That's a good point. Why are they keeping it from us?
Why are they keeping it from us? And you don't know, it's part of the unknown. And you begin to panic, and you know, some people have a tendency to panic more than others. It's just like when we were on my vacation this year, we were in some dangerous waters. And that was what I kept saying. Why isn't he telling us that? Why isn't he saying anything to us? He tells us after the fact. I don't want to know after the fact. I want to know before or during, so I know what to expect. So I really know what I can do to protect myself. And there it is, Dave. Protecting ourselves. So, you know.
Hey, listen to this. Let me interrupt you really quickly.
Sure.
You talked about the cost of the Olympics. When Tokyo was awarded the 2020 Olympics in September of 2013, their winning bid was a total of roughly $7 billion, 750 billion yen, most of which the local organized, the Tokyo Committee, was responsible for raising, and the rest from the central, the national government of Tokyo. Well, 7 years later, talk about loss of purchasing power, ladies and gentlemen. That $6.8 billion is now, this week, the organizers said it's going to cost a minimum of $12.6 billion. Gosh, what's that? That's almost a 50% overrun, if you will. So anyway, it's not cheap to to host one of the world's grand events.
No, and that's what they're releasing, and who knows where it'll be at the final end. You know, so yeah, but always double them, and all these, you know, when we have these disasters, and they say, oh, it's going to cost $7 billion. Well, here it's like, you take $7 billion to 200, and you know, then you'll be close. But anyway,
hey, gold's up another dollar.
Woohoo! All right, New York spot price $1,675, ladies and gentlemen. Silver's coming back a little bit, still a negative $1,742, and of course, all the white metals, platinum and palladium, they're stronger also. So they continue to climb. But oil.
End on a positive note?
Sure.
Can we talk about cheese?
Cheese?
Yeah, the big cheese. Swiss Gruyere. I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. I forget. Gruyere?
Sounds good.
It's the world's best cheese.
Wow.
The Gruyere from Switzerland has been named the world's best cheese, chosen from a record number of entrants from 26 nations. The World Championship Cheese Contest in Wisconsin. just announce.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, but you know, Wendy told us not to eat cheese.
Well, then that's why I unconsciously brought this up.
Well, I didn't know they had a world championship cheese contest in Wisconsin. Go Wisconsin. Good for you. We got lots of listeners, and I have clients in Wisconsin. So the cheese is from Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland.
3,667 entries this year.
Wow.
55 judges, taste, sniff, and inspect 132 classes of cheese during the every other year contest.
Wow, very interesting.
Well, I guess I bet, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't expect to have us end today's show with that kind of information. But you know what?
In 2018, the last one they had, it was a hard sheep's milk cheese called Esquiro that was made in France. I love sheep milk cheese.
Yeah,
I
do.
Hard to say.
Well, we call it goat cheese here in Pennsylvania.
Different than sheep.
Farmers.
800-375-4188. Be safe, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me